Ma'ayti Gefar, now we're in Daf Lamed Dalam and Allah. Ksiv. Frankly, Gemara says in the Pasuk, Alkein lo yeklo b'nei Yisrael, it's g'nan nosha. So according to Rabu, it should not only be also achila, it should also be g'nan nosha, be also behana as well. How do you know? So it says over here that there's a mission chulin on 93b that says you can give it as a gift to a non-Jew. So you see, it's motivano. It's a contradiction to Rabu. And for the Gemara, Rabu, time say we get hanosha shal nevela. I upheld my ruling through the reference to the get hanosha nevela. So in other words, by nevela, the pasuk says beferish that you can have anor from the nevela, and that obviously includes the whole animal, including the granosha. So you see, right? Elsewhere, however, prohibition on consumption is assumed to include prohibition on benefit as well. Okay, so the way he's learning here, in the English so far, he's saying that really, gid hanosha is takos of hano. There's a mission that says you can give it to a goy. That's talking about a gid hanosha of nevela, where there's a beferish apostate that says you can give it away to a guy. So he's kind of, so that's the pshat in the pasuk in the Gemara. Kind of must say.
That means the word once that an available is not to see the
Kuan. That's the way I thought it was originally, but the English at
but
the time.
Mean that a general permit can benefit from the Ganash, no?
The Gemara says elsewhere, however, a prohibition on consumption. One second. Elsewhere means elsewhere than the Torah. I'm sorry.
That first one, from which we made a general permit.
Oh, you're right. So I learned it right correctly. I'm sorry, I messed it up. So you're right. I thought it was just going to be that. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little shver. So, okay, very good. Let's see number three here. He maintains the heter to the benefit of flesh encompasses all edible parts of the animal, right? Fats, nerves, sinews, etc. Since the nevela is composed of all these parts, they're all included in the verse that you can give it to the stranger. So you see that hano is mutter. So it emerges the benefit of ginanosh is permitted in all cases, even when the animal is not a nevela. Bavli points out this response depends upon a tanaic dispute whether ginanosh possesses flavor. Yesh beginim, that's the shiloh of yesh beginim and nice and tam or not. And therefore regard as part of the nevela meat, or whether they don't possess flavor, if you hold it's a beginning of nois and tam, then they wouldn't be included in the isser of basar, of the nevela. So if the former, the ginanosh is included in the heter, but if it's the latter, it's not included in the heter, because if it wasn't included in the isser, it wouldn't be included in the heter, right?
Why can't you just give it to a goyish chef, and it's like an argument about messias?
Why can't you what?
I don't get that question. To get an usher, whether or not it gets off flavor.
You're talking about the mafokas to get an usher.
Yeah.
And I give it to a goy
chef.
Oh, you want to know whether, you're asking on whether yesh beginim nois and tam is a metzias question. That's what you're asking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know the sugya that well. Do you know the answer to that question?
Maybe there's
a tam, but it's the question is that tam, the tom of nevela, or is its own independent tom, which is not connected with the rest of the animal.
But it doesn't have to be from nevela.
What?
It doesn't have to be anymore from nevela, the way we're learning. To get an usher from any animal, it's going to be mutter. No? Isn't that what we just said?
Yes. But he's pointing out here that this response is only going to work if you hold yesh beginim and nois and tom. The Gemara's answer is that I see from the nevela that you're able to get hanor from ginanosha from a nevela.
Because
gid is part of the nevela.
Right.
And from that I extrapolate to all other gidin or also motabahanor, right? That assumption in that leavut is that it was included in the Isra nevela, which means yesh beginim benois and tam. Because if it ain't beginning of nois and tam, then it means that the gid has no tam nevela to begin with. It's like a bone. Right? Okay. Next. Fourth challenge, Hoksiv, Lechem, Makalim, Makam, Eloi, Soichlo, bread, right? This is the Isra of Chodesh, right? According to Ravu, the prohibition to eat Chodesh grain should be included to be an Isra Hanah. Yet the Mishnah Menachos teaches that benefit from such grain is permitted. Okay, where is that say, where does it say that?
That's in Pasha Demo.
Let's see here. It says here in number 5, the Mishnah that teaches Kodesh benefit is permitted is in Menachos 71. It says, Kaitzel l'shachas u'machal l'behema. You can harvest unripe grain before harvesting the omer, and feed even ripe grain to an animal before bringing the omer. The first segment discusses the injunction of harvesting the new crop before the omer. It says Rashi's Ketzirchem, identifying omer as the first, you see you're not supposed to do anything else before that. The second part, Michael Behema, discusses ripe grain, teaches that although it may not be eaten, but you can give it to your animal. From the, right. So they had to give the chodesh to your animal, right. So you see that's Matabano, it contradicts Ravuhu. That's the way some explain it. And there's another shot. Okay, we'll skip the brackets for now. So, Bekitzer, it says, Beferish in the Menachos, that you're allowed to get an Anor from Kodosh. So what's going on? What's Rabbi going to do with this Pasuk? Amar Rabbi Mari Machuha de Rabbi Yossi. This is the brother of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Mari, who's a brother. Shanyahi, that's different. Shukavala, because it was Mat. There, the Pasuk set a time limit. In other words, we know after the second day of Pesach, after the Omer is, after the carbon Omer is brought, that what? And the Isra of Kodesh falls away. So where a prohibition of Achila is of a limited time, then we don't have our rule.
Right.
So now we're already limiting the rule. So not Kol Makom that says Lo Yachol Lo Yachol. It's a no, it's also mashma. There's an exception to that rule. If there's a zman from which, after which, there's no more Isra Achila, so then the Isra Achila to begin with did not include Isra no. That's what he's saying. Okay? He says over here in the brackets, interesting note, Mara Fulda adds, it's true also with respect to Orla and Chometz.
What is it?
Bottom brackets on 6. He says, when it comes to Orla and Chometz, they're also time-bound, right? 7 days of Pesach, Orla the first 3 years.
Right.
Both of which, therefore, require Scripture to specify a prohibition for Bahanoa. In the case of Orla, it's true that it specifies a prohibition in its triple mention of Orla in Leviticus 19, like we said before. In the case of Chometz, however, the fact that Gemara below states clearly that according to Rabu and the neighbor of Elazar, the prohibition to benefit from Chometz comes from the verse, you shall not eat Chometz. Gra explains that although the Chometz prohibition is limited to a particular time and should not include a prohibition on benefit, but that doesn't apply by chometz. Why? Because any chometz that actually became forbidden on Pesach remained so even after the festival. That's what he's basically saying. So basically, what we're trying to bavarn is a problem with this rule that we just said. We just made up a rule that if there's a time limit for the Isra Achila, then it doesn't include an Isra Hanah. But for chometz, that's not true. Chometz, we're learning Isra Hanah for chometz from a Lashon Achila. So how does that work with this rule? So the Gra says, no, there is that when it comes to Yisurei Pesach, if something would become Chometz Shalom Pesach, for example, that would retain its Isra Achila even after Pesach. So therefore, I can therefore apply the rule of the Isra Achila, Isra Hanah.
Probably Orla also, huh?
Orla, you don't need this.
You have to understand it happens to be true, right? Paris Orla also covered? The first 3 years after
3 years. That's why he keeps playing with that. I never understood why he keeps saying that. But the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that the Isra Ola becomes mutter because after 3 years it becomes mutter.
The tree becomes mutter.
But it's the tree that becomes mutter, not the Isra. The pears remain also loilum.
So it should be true about what he's saying. But the Torah says anyway that it's a Ranala, I'm asking, but
yes.
Without that it wouldn't be Kriyat Shema, it wouldn't be saying. But then it comes. Should it come?
Arla should be like chametz.
Yeah, it's forever. Arla's not Kriyat Shema, the tree's been looked after for years, but the pear is forever.
Chametz is also according to the Gra's shot.
That's true.
But the Gemara always has keep saying this. Okay.
What happens if you have all of fruit? Well, in the 4th year, it's natural boy. What about the 5th year? You still have that fruit. It's still on the banner.
Absolutely. The first 3 years, yeah, they remain also loyal and vile. That's why, otherwise, you wouldn't have to burn the beged. You could put it in a drawer and hold it for the end of the 3 years, and you could use it. You can't, that's not true. You have to burn it. Okay. Another question. It comes to shrotzim. Yet we know from a Mishnah in Shvias that shrotzim is mutter. So let's see this one. Eight. The Mishnah Shmiya says, a trapper who finds a non-kosher animal, bird, or fish, can sell it to non-Jews. The famous Mishnah, right? That's the rule. Remember we learned that rule that you can't make a business out of tarfas, that which is also in the Torah va'afila. But if you go ahead and you happen upon one in your trap, or if you were shechting an animal, for example, and it's a nevela or a trefa, you can sell those because you're not mitchila going into business to do that.
Like empire.
Right. The Mishnah does not differentiate between shrotzim and other species.
Empire what?
You sell all the tree stuff.
We see that one is permitted to derive benefit from shrotzim. That's a good question. The verse excludes the possible prohibition to derive benefit that is implied in its first clause. What does that mean?
What does that
mean? 9. By offering, for they are an abomination. You say kito'eva. As the As the reason for the prohibition, it's limiting the prohibition to consumption. For this language applies to direct physical use of forbidden substance when eating, not merely indirect receiving monetary benefit. So sheket is something that you imbibe. Is that the word that you take into your body, right?
Imbibe.
That's a good word. Alternatively, the phrase "they are an abomination" implies that only they, the shrotzim themselves, not their benefit. So that's another shot. Bavli offers another response. He keeps going here, going through the whole Bavli thing. That's going to be interesting to keep trying to keep up with the parallel Gemara Simsochim, right? Bavli and Psachim issues a string of challenges to the ruling Rav Avuhu. Some of these challenges are identical to those raised in our Gemara, Blood Gid Anosho Chadash and Shratzim. However, Bavli's Shratzim challenge features a different verse than our Gemara. Okay. Shuman Nazir and Avram Nachai. All right. He's just doing a comparative study. That's really not the function of the notes here in the Yerushalmi. I'm a little surprised this got through the editorial process. This stuff is scholarly work. It's important work. Doesn't belong in the notes in the Yerushalmi, in my opinion. Okay, so basically, let's say over what the answer is. It says, Leisoy chlom ki sheket tame, a ramana miyet iser hanoya shabo, because it says,
either the sheket or the
Haim. It sounds more from the language here, it sounds like there's a miyad here. Are you saying Shekets is also a miyad? Okay.
Haim is a miyad.
Okay. Next. Rav Avu ruled that unless the Torah explicitly states otherwise, any prohibition to eat includes also prohibition to derive benefit. The Gemara now cites another contradiction. I don't know why we need an introduction. Why didn't he just say a sixth question. Like the fifth of, one second, he says
the
fifth.
The question on Rabbi Abua, it seems to be, I mean, it's a theory in Rabbi Abua.
Oh, this is contradicting from Rabbi Abua. I'm sorry. Okay. Rabbi Abua b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, I see. It's not. So that fifth one was kind of the final challenge from Sukkim. Now we have another question just from Rabbi Abua himself. Okay, sorry, missed that. Rabbi Abua b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, ha'isa is polonis mishrayan eskol. So you're making a band-aid from a shrayan eskol. Shrayan eskol, of course, it says noki yia, then it's an isra hanah from the shrayan eskol, right? From the time of the Pesach Din of Bezin. When we chomet shalom Pesach, you make a little kind of like salve from chomets as well. In a leika, you don't get malchus for being over on the isra hanah of these items. She'en leisa says shalom mechover. It's not clear, the leisa saying mechover means it's got to be clear. Because there's no negative commandment for forbidding benefit, these acts do not incur the penalty of lashes. So by Sharon Iskal, I knew right away. Noki, yeah, it's almost in the language of an assay, he shall be free, from which we learn the Asahana, so therefore there's no voice assay involved there. For Chomets all about Pesach, there I thought we just said that it was from Lysaical Chomets.
Sounds like it.
The Isser comes from something which is not a loisase. It's not a lav. Nokiyia is more like a positive.
It's
like an Isserase. That sounds like that. Yeah. Now, one second. With regards to this ox, the scripture states its flesh shall not be eaten. With regards to chametz that belong to a Jew, it says chametz shall not be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan teaches these negative commandments do not include a benefit, since the plain meaning concerns consumption. They're indeed needed to prohibit consumption. They're not seen as expressing a prohibition on benefit as well, because there is no negative commandment forbidding the benefit of these items.
What about chametz? Why don't we talk about
one who benefits from them does not incur lashes.
Why is he having chametz on basis?
Yeah, hold.
We had, based on one of the other things, anything that's only temporary and becomes mutter has a different sin, he said.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Now, this is not the same thing. Oxygen comments are permitted for benefit. The prescription for such benefit emerges not from a loisase, but from a positive. Is therefore not subject to lashes as a rule. Blah, blah, blah. Positive is Baal Ashor Noki, or he finally quotes my thing. Baal Ashor Noki, this phrase of positive commandment is expounded to mean it's not, no hana. In the case of Chomets after Pesach, here we go. A verse in Leviticus. He doesn't quote the positive. 6:23, chutzpah. Where is the buzzer? I have a Tanakh. I want to look it up. Just one second.
What are you looking?
I'm looking at 6:23. I want to see Leviticus 6:23. Just want to see the buzzer. Please quote it.
Stop.
Well, we're going to see in a second where it is. It's in Sof. That's correct. And 23 says the following. Chokhata sashayuva midoma el oihal mori lechaper bakarish lo yisei ochel ba ishti sorif. What? What's that got to do with anything? We're talking about chometz, no? Here. The positive commandment is a verse in Leviticus which some expound to teach that items like chometz are forbidden not only for consumption, but also for benefit. That pasuk is, Cholchata sashayuvo midoma o oil moi lechaper b'kodesh, lo se ochel, bo eish tisoreif. Now, what in the world does that have to do with chometz? That's an interesting pasuk to use.
What's Rashi
say? This doesn't have any Rashi. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. Okay. We'll have to see the Gemara. The Gemara below will quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying that where a prohibition is couched in the passive form, shall not be eaten, lo ye'ochel, it prohibits benefit too. Here, however, he clearly rejects this notion, for the prohibition of the ox and the chametz do indeed employ the passive, but they don't include the benefit. That's the view of Yerushalmi Levi, who maintains that a prohibition on consumption, whether couched in the active or passive, never includes a prohibition of benefit. Okay.
What was it?
Yeah. 623, he says. You have to really see the Gemara to get the full gist over here. Now, in the bottom brackets, he talks about whether we're talking about chametz all about Pesach. That's talking about chametz on Pesach. Okay. Whatever it is. So, the bottom line is the Gemara is saying a simple thing here. Let's just get back to the Gemara. All he's saying here is that let's try to get what the Gemara is trying to bring out a contradiction. So it says over here, Rabbi Buh said, "V'shem Rabbi Yochanan, if you made an ispalanis from Sharni Eskalor from Kom Shalva of Pasach, then you did not get Malchus because the Laisaf day is not Mechuba." Okay, now what happens if you make a dressing from Klayah Karam? Then likely you do get Malchus. Damar Abchanino. Pen tikdash, pen tukad eish. So that tells you that you have to burn kalayim, which in turn implies that it's iser hanah, because it uses the word pen, called pen yishama va'al is a laisase, and therefore that is a lashon laisase, which you will get malchus. We're on 34a3.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, I was a little ahead of you.
You were ahead of me already? Wow. So we said that if you make the ispalanis from Klayah Karam, you get Malchus, because of Tikdash, which is a Lashon of Laisase. Now, we have a final conclusion of Rabbi Avu. All this is Rabbi Avu talking, right? First he said, if it's Sharniskel or Chomashol of Pesach, you don't get Malchus. Then he said, if it's what? If it's Klayim, you do get Malchus, because it's pen to Kadesh. And if it's Orla, what's the rule over there? Tricha. That's going to be a question. Asay l'racha koksiv. On the one hand, there's an asay, to distance Orla. And lois asay l'aych l'aksiv. And there's a lois asay as far as the eating. Now, what does that mean? Let's just take a quick peek here at this 18:19. Says, the triple mention of Orla contained in this verse, is a positive commandment to refrain from benefiting from the Orla. And 19 is, it shall not be eaten, which is a negative. Right, so it says lo ye'ochel, and it also says varaltem. So you have a lashon asay, you have a lashon lois asay. Right, so perhaps then one who transgresses is subject to lashes lois asay l'racha ko lesksiv. On the other hand, an explicit negative commandment to distance yourself from manah is not written. Perhaps then one who transgresses it does not incur lashes. What is, in other words, it's tricha. This is all part of his suffix.
If you have hanor from an ishan say, you don't get malchus.
Right. So number 20. Rabbi Yochanan is unsure. Is it shall not be eaten regard to arla on leisasei, and that it will get malchus? Although Rabbi Yochanan holds this phrase does not usually denote a prohibition of benefit, this case may be different for the presence in this very verse, a positive commandment prescribing benefit is perhaps indicating that the negative commandment includes the hanah as well.
So you would get malchus,
or perhaps the presence of the positive commandment is of no importance and does not indicate the prohibition of eating includes benefit as well. In other words, maybe the asay part, which is the hanah part, is not significant. In other words, it's not going to be explaining what the loisa of lo yachel is referring to. That's basically what he's saying.
Yes.
From this Torah, it seems clear, according to those who are unlike Rabbi Yochanan, do extend every prohibition on consumption, that the verse, it shall not be eaten, that is written regarding oral law, represents a scriptural prohibition on oral benefit. Okay. That's not that important for now. Okay, I'm still waiting for the stira in Rav Avu. Now we haven't gotten to it yet. According to this teaching of Rav Avu, the name of Yochanan, the scriptural phrase, it shall not be eaten, which appears with regard to the condemned ox and the chometz after Pesach, does not denote a prohibition to derive benefit. Okay, that's what we're up to. Now Gemara is going to soon point out the apparent contradiction. First, however, it digresses with a challenge aimed at the first part. So the Braisa says, this famous limud, right? And the pasuk says you have to give it, you have to stone it. So what, I know if you're going to stone it, you're obviously not trusting it. Obviously, it's going to be also b'achila. So why does the pasuk have to tell me it's also b'achila? Teretz is, the pasuk is telling me an additional isser that this and this are not also. Very good. From this b'raisa, you see that lo ye'achel is needed for no other purpose than to prohibit hano. It follows that one who derives benefit from the ox should be subject to lashes. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say that if you make an esplanus from Shor HaNiskel, you don't get malchus? It's very clear here that the lo ye'achel in the pasuk is only being said in the context of hana. So the Gemara deflects the question of Rabbi Yochanan, what's he going to do? Pasuk lo, ishe kadmo habaylim ushkatuhu. What the case like this? He jumped the gun. Best in Paschim that it was Chayef Misa. He decided, you know what? I'm not going to wait for them to give it skila. I'll give it a shchita, and I'll. The verse teaches us that although this meat was properly slaughtered, it's forbidden for consumption. So it's needed for this purpose. It's not available to teach us that it's also b'hanah. So that's the answer. The Gemara is
not stemming the right. Not stemming the right.
The pasuk is teaching you that
in this case,
the achila is going to be usher, even though everything was done right with it.
What are you saying? What are you saying? You know, I didn't understand what you were.
So is he stemming the right? I think he's not going the right.
He's not going with the brisa. How is he not going with the brisa? The question was from the Braisa. The question that the Braisa seemed to say that lo ye'achel is an extra pasuk since it says soki yisachel. It tells me that it's an isra hanah. If it tells me it's an isra hanah, then why isn't he getting malchus? The answer is that is telling me that if
right.
I jump the gun and shafted it, I can't eat it. So that's an isra
achila.
So then that's not like the Braisa. That's what you're saying. What kind of answer is that?
So in the second paragraph, how did they have to do that? He asked
a question. So one might wonder how the Gemara can allow Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Amora, to offer an interpretation that is contradicted by the Raisa. The answer is Rabbi Yochanan's view is also supported. The Raisa there asks, as Ara does, why then does the Torah say it's special need? And the answer, as Rabbi Yochanan does, if you have to follow the view of that Braisa. Oh, the Gemara is saying basically that there's a Machlokes in Braisas and he's going like the other Braisa. Okay. That's not a great teretz. I mean, we're basically the Gemara is just saying that it's a Machlokes Tanaim and he's going like the other Braisa. Interesting. Okay, next. So now we're on Omid Beis. We're doing very well. It's 9:30. Usually when I'm learning this myself, it takes double the amount of time that it does to say it.
Why did nobody pass it off and nobody add to it?
That's right. So this is great. You still with us, Tzvi? Are you still up?
I'm still here.
Okay. Don't feel obligated to stay because we're losing the crowd. Right now I got two people in the room and you're online. So, you know, as long as you want to stay with us, it's appreciated. 34B at the top. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the stira. We've been waiting with bated breath to see where is there a stira between Rav Avu and Rav Avu. Rav Zeir Boy Kumi Rav Avu. Hochat Amr Hochain. Hoch Amr Hochain. Here you say this and here you say this. It's a contradiction. That's a great hesber. So.
You have to know what.
So we have to look at footnote number one, obviously, to explain what this tradition is. So, around 33b, Rav Avu said that whenever the Torah employs the wording Yushalman, eat it intends Israel no as well.
Right.
Rav Avu addresses only the active form of Yushalman eat. His view is doubly true with respect to the passive of Lo Ye Yochel. Remember, Lo Ye Yochel is more mashma in Isra Hano than Lo Yochel, right? So if he holds Lo Yochel is an Isra Hano, surely Lo Ye Yochel is an Isra Hano. It's very important to understand that. Right? Now, that was employed in the cases of ox condemned to stoning of chametz after Pesach. If Rav Avu interprets even the active formulation as prohibiting benefit, then in the case of the passive formulation, which is even more likely, he certainly interprets it in this manner. Yet Rav Avu rules here that in the case of the ox and the chametz, the phrase "it shall not be eaten" does not include prohibition of benefit. Contradicts his earlier ruling, right? It's a very simple question.
Why
is it no malchus by Sharon Nistel and Chomet Shalom and Pesach? It says Lo Yeyach. Yeah, that's the question. So the Gemara answers on Malay. Yes. He quoted the Pesach.
So it says
Basa Lo Yeyach. It quoted the Pesach before.
Yeah,
hit him. Remember?
So that was
the question. Yeah, the Torah Or quotes it in Ois Hay on Lamadal Lamad Aleph at the bottom. You see the Torah Or? V'yigach shoros eish ois eish ova meis soki sok lashom v'yoch lefesoro. So it says Lo Ye Ochel Es Vesaro. That's the passive form, which is even more mashma Isra Hanoah. So how can it be that he doesn't get malchus?
Well,
wait a minute. What?
We were talking about Hanoah. Now we're back to Achila.
No, we're asking on Hanoah. He was saying that there's no. We're talking about making an Espelanis, which is Isra Hanoah. From Shara Niskal. Question is, according to Rav Avu, whenever it says Lo Yoichel, Lo Yoichel, surely when it says Lo Yoichel, it's an Isra Hanoah. If it's an Isra Hanoah, then why isn't he getting Malchus? Why did he say that when you get Hanoah from Espelanis or Shara Niskal, that you're not like it?
Yeah.
Amalei, so he answers, Rav Avu answers, Chada Mishmei Rav Lozer, Chada Mishmei Rav Yechon. In other words, when I quoted my original statement, I was quoting Rav Elazar. This statement about the Espelanis, that was the name of Yechon, so it's a machlokes. Rav Yechon attacking doesn't hold. Lo Yechel is considered an Isra Hanoah. Okay? Very lovely. This is typical Yerushalmi kind of answer. This is this one, and that's it. Okay? The Gemara above, going back, 34a, cited a teaching of Rav Avuhu, in the name of Yechonon, in which Rav Yechonon rejects the notion that prohibition of consumption can include Hanoah. Here the Gemara cites an alternative version of Rav Avuhu's teaching, in which he says precisely the opposite, that in some cases Rav Yechonon does accept his teaching. In other words, we're going to have proofs, and this is also another typical Yerushalmi thing to do, that after the Yerushalmi says that he doesn't hold from it, they turn around and quote someone else who says he does hold from it. It happens constantly. Rabbanu dekisim Rav Avu b'shem Rav Avu Yechonon, kol malchus shenemar loyseichel, loyseichlu, ein atakas Isra Hanoah b'Isra Achila, you do not grasp it. But lo seyochel, lo yeyochel, atakas Isra Hanoah b'Isra Achila. That passive, right. So this is where he makes this distinction that sometimes you will include it. B'yinav shabakuon, That's the binyan of. That in the pasuk by chatos, he uses the passive language, and there it is clearly means isarno as well.
What's the passive and what's the active?
Passive is what? Let me just say again. Shall not be eaten is lo ye ochel. Shall not be eaten. Lo yechel is ye shall not eat it. Lo ye ochel, it shall not be eaten.
So which is
the
passive?
One which is passive is lo ye ochel. And that is more mashma isarno than the straight lo yechel. Okay? That's what this distinction is.
Lo yochel and lo tofu is the active.
That's correct. That's telling me, don't eat it.
Lo
yochel means it shall not be eaten. So I'm not referring to you. I'm talking about the object. This object shall not, this meat shall not be eaten. This chomet, shalom ha-pesach, shall not be eaten. So that is more, and binyanav is the korban chatas pasuk where it says, it's by eshti sarif, it means it's in sarno. And the pasuk there says the language of lo seyoch. Okay?
And lo seyoch, what we're saying now is?
Passive. That's passive. Okay, this verse which employs the passive form, shall not be eaten, explicitly teaches a prohibition to derive benefit, because it says it shall be burned in fire, by including the prohibition in the verse, it establishes a binyan av. Okay, next. Rav Yochanan rules that the scriptural phrase, you shall not eat, does not denote a prohibition to derive benefit, right? Lo yechel is not an isser hano. Tony Chizki, a Messiah, Rav Yochanan, so Chizki is going to have a proof. Mimash, mashenemar kochel shor v'chesem v'ez lo yisok heilu. Le'ez v'davar ne'amar v'chel 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 treifel le'yosel chol malacha. Pasuk says, I can't eat chaylof. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I can use it for malacha? Even to work for the Hashem, for the most high things. Let's see what it says over here in 13. Generally, flesh and avail is not only forbidden to eat, but it generates tumah. Our verse teaches that the chalav of an avela does not share this tumah law, but may be put to any use, a two-part teaching. It could have simply said the chalav yasalam lacha, put to use, and awarded the word call. However, then we would have said that the chalav may be used only with chulin, not with kachim. The verse therefore says when we use call, teaches the chalav can be used even with kachim, treating consecrated animal hides. It does not ever transmit tumas nevela, neither the chulin nor the kachim. That's the Maharav Holder says, okay? Again, that there's no tomo on the chalav. Okay, from the above exchange it's clear that the Rishon understands that the phrase you shall not eat is only referring to consumption, not benefit, which is supporting Rabbi Yochanan's view. This is Chizkiah's raya to Rabbi Yochanan. And now the Gemara is going to quote the rest of the Rishon, the rest of the story. What do I need that for? This is the famous limud that one of the seven mashkim, which are makshir, for tumah is dam, because the pasuk compares it to mayim, just like mayim is a makshir, so too dam is a makshir. So again, we have a separate limud from the word mayim. Right, we just learned this pasuk earlier in the Gemara but to teach us why, as an answer to Rav Avuhu, remember?
Right.
So we said that the pasuk calls it, compares it to mine, just like mine is motzei b'hanoa, so too dam is motzei b'hanoa. He doesn't need that, because he doesn't hold it's also b'hanoa. So what do I need a comparison for? Terence is, to tell me that it's makshir. So the Gemara Viter, another verse, mimasha shenem alay seich l'kol nevelo. He only says you can't eat nevela. What do I need a pasuk to tell me I give it to the ger? Dr. Gemara, Dr. Rice, tells me the ger toishav is not forbidden to eat nevelas. Right? A ger toishav is makabel. It's a big shiloh what a ger toishav exactly is. Some say he's makabel all the mitzvahs except for the isra nevela.
Yeah.
Some say it means he's just makabel the seven mitzvahs.
Yeah.
It's a big shaila.
Yeah,
what do I need a pasuk over here? Look at this right now. But Gemara's quoting a pasuk to tell me that there's a heter to give a ger taisha of nevela. It's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs. What do I need a pasuk for?
What did you learn out?
So what do you see from here? A non-Jew who formally undertakes to abide certain commandments and his return is granted permission to live in Eretz Yisrael. When the crisis says a ger taisha of east nevelas, it's telling me that the ger taisha of acceptance of all mitzvahs except the prohibition to eat nevela. All mitzvahs except that mitzvah. The question of which mitzvahs the ger taisha must keep is actually a subject of a Tanaic dispute, about the Zohar 64b.
Mm-hmm.
And according to some, he only has to accept not only to worship, not to worship idols. That's all he needs to do. Others say he has to take the seven universal precepts. Still others maintain he must keep all the mitzvahs other than Nevela. Our Bryce appears to be the following latter view, following the latter view, right? Very interesting shaila about ger taisha. What does a ger, what do I need to do? What does a person need to do to be allowed to stay in Eretz Yisrael? It's very difficult to me to understand. Why would a ger have to accept more than the Sheva Mitzvahs, and why would he be allowed to accept less than the Sheva Mitzvahs? It's just a very interesting concept, you know, on either side. The one that makes the most sense, of course, is the Sheva Mitzvahs. That's easy, because he's doing what he has to do. You have to do what you have to do, and what you have to do is the Sheva Mitzvahs. But yet you have a sheet of...
If all he keeps is the Sheva Mitzvahs, he's not a ger, he's a guy.
Yeah, and Ger Toshav doesn't mean Ger. It's very misunderstood. Ger Toshav means that a person who's allowed to stay, he's allowed to be a Toshav in Eretz Yisrael. What is it that allows a person who's not Jewish to stay in Eretz Yisrael? He has to have a certain Kabbalah. What is that Kabbalah exactly? Three-way machlokas. Either not to be out of a Zohar, either to become a Sheva Mitzvahs, or to be makabel all the mitzvahs except for myself and for the veil, which is he's allowed to give the veil, like it says, like Yer Asher to Sherechet and Nevachol. So I was just thinking out loud, what is the pshat in those two extremes? Right? Okay. Mimash Vashanemar Uvasubasan Trefalo Sukhevul Izadamanemar. Same thing, same issue by Basar son Trefa. So why does it say Lekal Tashlichan also? So the Gemara says, Oysi Atamashal Kalavi Atamashal Human Shinish Rivan Zari. Here the Gemara speaks it out again.
Yeah.
You can't, you have an Isra No if you do Shpulam Azar. Again, it's clear the phrase you shall not eat does not represent a prohibition to derive benefit. And with this we finished the Aflamid Dalit. Let me stop.
Basically Rabbi Abbo says,